you want to know where we're going to be at today, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. Say that really fast. Thessalonians, yes. All right. Thessalonians. So there's a 1 and a 2 Thessalonians, and they were written by Paul, written to the church in Thessalonica. So if you're to take, these biblical trips to Israel, they were kind of put on hold the last couple years because of all what's happening in the Gaza Strip and all that. So where they have done trips now is more in that area of Greece and that area, so kind of on Paul's missionary journeys. So those have been kind of popular. I'm hoping the Israel thing comes back open because that's where I'm headed. So hopefully. All right, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5, and then also weaving in some Revelation and maybe some Isaiah there. All right. So today we're going to finish up our Advent series. I know Christmas was on Thursday, right? All right. But Advent means what? What does that word mean? No. Advent means coming, right? So when we talk about Advent, it's his first coming, right? And so he came the first time as a babe, came to this earth, right? And then when we also talk about Advent, it also has that aspect of his second advent or his second coming, and that's when Jesus will come back for his church, all right? So that's what we're going to talk about, the good news still to come, and look at what Scripture has to say on that. So far, we've looked at the good news promised, Genesis 3. We looked at good news explained in the book of Isaiah. We looked at good news anxiety from Mary and Joseph in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. Christmas Eve, we looked at the good news fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. And then, today we're going to look at good news still to come. So if you like Marvel movies, how many like Marvel movies? Anybody here? My wife does not. She'll watch them out of courtesy for me every once in a while. But you always have to stay and watch the credits, because after the credits, there's usually this little teaser about something that's still to come, right? And so you see that in Scripture as well, that we see his first coming, but there also is that idea of the truth of his second coming. So when you look at events, how many have ever heard a teaching just on end times events? That used to be a huge thing when I was a kid. All right, yeah. And they had it all figured out, and they realize now they didn't have it all figured out, all right? Some of it. But often when we look at end time events, we're looking at a timeline. So this happens here. So you have the rapture of the church. You have the tribulation. You have the second coming of Christ, which is where the battle of Armageddon is. And you have Jesus comes to earth. He sets up his millennial reign for 1,000 years. At the end of that, you have the final judgment. So if you've taken the doctrine class, you have all this memorized. Maybe. And then you have the final judgment, then you have the new heavens and new earth, okay? But you're looking at it from a sideways angle. When you look at a lot of prophecies in Scripture, it's like looking through binoculars or a rifle scope, right? And when you look at it, a timeline, if you were to take a timeline and go, and look at it this way, you can't see the depth, can you? In fact, a lot of it looks like it could be happening at the same time. You don't see the distance there. And in a lot of prophecies, you'll have, just keep your finger in Thessalonians, go back to Acts chapter 2. Just a perfect example. So the Holy Spirit comes upon the early church. Peter quotes from the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. He says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and your daughters. That's verse 17 of chapter 2. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So Peter's saying, hey, that is fulfilled right here, right now. That's being fulfilled. That is fulfillment of what Joel wrote. But then he goes in, the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord. So it's all the same prophecy. Some had been fulfilled, but I believe that last verse has not been fulfilled yet. That is still to come. It's all in the same prophecy, but you're looking at hundreds, even thousands of years separation in those different verses. That makes sense? And you see that within Scripture. All right, so now that I just really totally confused you all, gave you something to think about, we are going to look at the second coming of Christ, the second Advent in our Advent series. So let's begin and bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is there to guide and direct us. And I pray in these moments, just give us your Holy Spirit. It's your Holy Spirit that makes your word come alive to us. Even gives us the ability to understand and grasp what you've written. And we give you the thanks. We ask it in your name. Everybody said amen. Amen. All right, we're going to begin in verse 13, chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. And Paul says, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Some translations say ignorant, all right? About those who sleep in death. What is he talking about? Those who have died, right? So people have died since they've experienced the ministry of Jesus, they've given their life to God, and they've died, and they haven't gone to heaven, and the promise of heaven hasn't happened yet, okay? The rapture of the church. And Paul wants to say, they're kind of like, oh, what's going to happen? He goes, I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant about what is going to happen in those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind that have no hope, right? So when death happens in our world, yes, it is sad. We grieve, right? But we're not without hope because we have the promise of the resurrection. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring Jesus with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. In other words, so as Jesus was crucified and he was resurrected, so thank God he died on the cross for my sins, right? But if he hadn't been resurrected, Paul says, hey, Jesus died in vain. Because we don't have the hope of the resurrection. But see, Jesus went before us, and because of that, it gives us the hope that also that we will also be resurrected on that day. Okay? Verse 15, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that those who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. So those that have died, they get a front row, they get VIP access, they get to go first, right? And those who are still alive then will follow behind. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, kind of like Mary Bess, and with the trumpet call of God. All right? You just set it up there, Mary Beth. All right? With the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up. So you can underword that. I'm reading out of the NIV. Caught up. You can underline that, but that is, how many have heard the word rapture? Right? Okay? That is not found in Scripture. Okay? What is this term caught up. That's where we get the word rapture, that the church is going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That is where we get that terminology, rapture. Okay? Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Okay? And so we will ever be forever with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The first point here is that hope. Okay? I got three words. Okay? Kind of like charades, three words. All right? The first one is hope. Believers in Christ have a hope that reaches into eternity. Amen. Right? We have a hope that reaches into eternity. It does not end when we die. It reaches into eternity. We believe that we will be resurrected and meet the Lord in the air, whether we are have already passed away or whether we are still alive. We are included in that, right? And we get to meet him and be forever with him. This is how John records it in the book of Revelation. Some people are scared of the book of Revelation, but it's a great book. It's one of the final books included in the New Testament. In other words, written probably at the latest time. John is, as far as we know, the only apostle disciple that would not be martyred. Okay, church tradition says that they tried to poison him and that didn't work, so they put him on this deserted island, and that's where he would live out the remainder of his days. But this is where he has these visions, and he writes the book of Revelations. And in chapter 21, verses 1-4, John says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there's no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven." So that means What we see now is going to be no longer. After the millennial reign, you have this new heaven and new earth, right? And the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And you'll see that imagery that the church is often seen as the bride of Christ. Verse 3, and I heard a voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. And so that imagery that is also within the Old Testament, that the tabernacle, which means dwelling in the midst of, is now fulfilled, that now God is going to dwell amongst his people. Okay, and then we even see that when Jesus came to earth, he dwelt among us. That is a picture of what God desires. He does not desire that he's up here and we're down here. He desires that he is in the midst of us. Amen? And I think we need to live our lives like that. That God should be part of every aspect of our life as we walk through this life, saying, God, let your presence be with me. Verse 4, we like this verse. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. Amen? That's the hope of heaven. And then you go to chapter 22, the last chapter of Revelation, verses 5 through 1. Then the angel showed me a river, water of life, as crystal, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God, the Lamb, down from the middle of the great street. So we're talking about the New Jerusalem. And on each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Isn't it interesting that often leaves are essential oils and stuff like that, the healing qualities? So, verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. So we talked about in Genesis 3, in the first message of this series, the curse, right? There would be a curse that would happen because mankind sinned. Now we see that the curse is done with. It is no longer part of the picture. There is no more weeds. There's no more sickness, disease, death. All that that was associated with the curse is done with. Verse 5, and there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they'll reign forever and ever. So there'll be no more sun, moon, stars. He will be our light. Amen? That is the picture of heaven. For believers who have invited Christ into their life and live each day for him, there is the hope of heaven and eternal life with God. That is the good news still to come. Amen? Amen. I know most people want to live life and live it to the fullest, right? But also there is that time where our bodies wear out and we've lived our life, right? We don't live forever, but in eternity, we will. And we have that hope that reaches into eternity. Well, let's keep reading here in Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 4. It says, now, brothers and sisters, about dates and times, we do not need to write to you. It's actually times and dates. All right. We do not need to write you about, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them. Suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, they will not escape. So the second word here is expectation. Believers should be living each day anticipating the Lord's return. You know, when I read this, a thief in the night, so you're going to have to be my age, but anybody watch the Thief in the Night movies back when I'm talking about? So now the newer ones are the Left Behind ones, right? The Tim LaHaye kind of inspired. But back in the day, David Wilkerson, the Thief in the Night movies, goodness sakes, I came back one day, nobody was home, and guess what I thought? Yeah, I'd been left behind, man. I was not in a good place. And, you know, I don't think God wants us to be living in fear of that day. He wants us to be living in expectation and looking forward to that day, right? But those movies were very much about scaring you into heaven, right? I got a text message. I don't know, was that yesterday, Amy? I said I got a text message from a guy that I signed up at a booth at one of our national conventions, and he sent me two pictures and said, Jesus is coming back in 2026. And maybe he is. I've heard other people saying, hey, you know, hey, maybe Christ is going to come. You know, and they were saying that back in Paul's days too. So we're going to read a passage from that. What I do know is that no man knows what? The day or the hour, right? So Matthew, Jesus says, 24 verses 36 to 44, about that day and hour, no one knows. No one means no one, right? Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it is in the days of Noah, so it'll be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, giving away in marriage up to that day. Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. This is how it'll be with the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, the other one left. Two women grinding at the handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So also, you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Whether this day is a surprise or a promise fulfilled is up to you and I, right? Because if you're ready, it's going to be, whoo, Jesus is here. We're going to hear the trumpet call. We're going to be with him. But if we're caught off guard, it's going to be surprised. And usually when we're surprised, it means that we're not in where we should be. We have to be living in that anticipation. I think you all know that I like to hunt, right? I sit on the tree stand. You know, and I can look at my trail cameras and say, they're going to come out at this time. And sometimes they do, but they have a way knowing that I'm up in that tree stand or something. I don't know. But usually they come where I don't expect them, right? And often I'm caught by surprise. Sometimes I see them coming, and sometimes I don't, right? You can't let your guard down. You have to be ready. You can't be on your phone. You have to be ready, because they come when you least expect them. Amen. Let's keep reading on here. We have to be ready. That idea of expectation. And I like that word expectation, because it means that I'm looking forward to and waiting for something that is still to come. All right. Rebecca and I were talking about waiting, right? Before church. Yes, patience. All right. Let's look at verses 5 through 12. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. In other words, Paul is saying, you know what? This day shouldn't catch you by surprise. You should have an idea. You should sense that the Lord's return is near. We may not know the exact day and hour, but we should sense in our spirit that the day is close, and that we're expecting it and we're ready. You are all children of the light and children of the day. You're all children of the light, yeah, and children of the day. You do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. In other words, they're not paying attentive. They're sleeping on the job, right? And what happens when you sleep on the job? Yeah, you lose track of what's happening. Verse 7, for those who are asleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, so that idea of being sober, being attentive, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can underline that. That verse is often used. I won't go too much into this, but is Jesus going to come before the tribulation or after the tribulation? Before? Anybody believe after? Tribulation, we believe, is a 7-year period of time. First part is going to be tribulation more on Israel. The second half is more God's wrath. It's going to be poured out on all the nation. You read through Revelation, you see it. So within the assemblies, there's a pretty heavy leaning towards pre-trib. In other words, the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation, and then Jesus comes that second time on earth to set up the millennial reign after the tribulation. But there's people that believe that he's going to come in the middle. There's people that are going to believe he's going to come at the end of the tribulation. But often it says God will not appoint us to suffer wrath. In other words, if you believe in him, Jesus is going to take his church out of this world before the tribulation. And people will be saved during the tribulation, but it's going to be with a lot of turmoil and suffering and pain. Okay? What's that? Well, there's going to be a lot of wrath, a lot of judgment. Okay? But this verse is used a lot to say that God's going to take the church out, catch up the church. All right? And then there's pan. The pan view is that it's all going to pan out in the end. All right? So, can we know for sure? I know good people that believe in pre-trib. I know good people that believe in post-trib and mid-trib. What the Assemblies believe is it's the imminent return of Christ. The imminent means it's going to happen and you need to better be ready because we don't know the day or the hour. All right? All right, verse 10. And he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. So in other words, we have died or living, will be with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. That's the word edification, just in fact, you are doing. And that word encouragement is so important. The third word is holiness, that believers walk in holiness. Believers walk in holiness. And I think that's so important. Not only that we are looking forward to today, that day, we have that hope, but also that we are walking in holiness and that we're living in a way because we don't know when he's going to return. Okay? And to be ready. This is what Peter says, 1 Peter 3, 8 through 14. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends, that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. So we get caught up in the days, right? But for God, all this, his track of time is different than ours. Verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We think, why, God, is your coming's taking so long? It's because that I believe that God wants to see as many accept Christ as Lord and Savior as possible, right? And there's one in the Gospels, one verse that says, when the gospel's been preached to all nations, we look at nations as borders, right? But if you look at its ethnos, ethnicities, so people, language, tribe, and tongue, then the end will come. Verse 10, but the Lord, day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And usually that day of the Lord is kind of this, it's a day of reckoning, right? It can be good, it can be bad, but usually it's the day of reckoning. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live a holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day and speed its coming. So Peter gives the indication that we can actually influence the coming of the Lord by sharing the gospel and living a holy life. That day will bring about destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in heat. But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, you are looking forward to this. Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Leave no question. Amen. He's coming back for a spotless bride. And I was thinking about that. And the one song we sang, that second one, I Believe is the name of it, talks about you coming back and for a spotless bride. And I thought, man, you know what? There's not one person here. Okay, I'm sorry to inform you. But there's not one person here. And there's not one person that's walked this earth other than Jesus that can say, you know what? I'm spotless. I haven't sinned. I haven't stained my white clothes. You know, and when people get married, they wear the white dress, right? It's a symbol of purity, right? That they've held themselves, not just the bride, but also the groom for that day, right? But you know what? There's none of us here that can come before God and say we haven't sinned, that we haven't stained these clothes. And that's why the blood of Christ is so important, because he's the one that cleanses us and purifies us so that we can be righteous and holy before him. It's only through that, by grace, through faith, that we can do that. Amen. I don't have the musicians come. So whenever I've taught on this in youth group for the days of Donovan, the kids, they kind of freaked out on me, right, Sarah? They kind of freaked out when we talked about it. And this shouldn't be a scary thing. It should be something that we look forward to. He's coming for his church. And there's days we look at our world and think, wow, it's a mess. And then other days there's good things. I mean, there's babies being born, family members getting married. There's good things that happen, right? Things that we enjoy and embrace and laugh at and rejoice in. But there's also some horrible things that happen in our world. That last chapter of Revelation, I was looking at that. This is what John, but Jesus, he's quoting Jesus from his vision. Chapter 22. Verse 7, he says, look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps my words of this prophecy written in the scroll. Verse 12, look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. And I'll give each person according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who have washed their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. And then verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. I'm coming soon. He's coming for his church. He's coming for those who have put their faith in him. Amen? That's the second advent. And Jesus came the first time so that there could be the second time, that we could be with him in eternity. Amen? So we're going to sing a close, we're gonna close of the chorus. Would you stand this morning? It's called One Day, and it kind of blends, takes some of the old and the new. If you grew up in the church, you'll know that song. Before I do that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation. And I pray that everybody has this hope. And I believe we can know beyond a shadow of any doubt. And there's some may question, you know, God, you know what you've done. And there's some maybe that are here saying, you know, there's no way that God could save me. I've just done too much. I know my own heart. I know my own thoughts. There's just no way. But Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. If we put our faith in him, I don't believe there's no one that cannot be saved. And so let's pray together, saying, dear God, come into this heart. Forgive me of all my sin. Cleanse me and purify me. Be my Lord and my Savior. And walk with me today and forever. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
One day you'll make everything new. Jesus, one day you will bind every wound. The former things shall all pass away, no more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all. Jesus, one day every question resolved. Anxious thought left behind, no more fear. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Face to face, Jesus, is there of the greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed on that day. to face. Jesus, is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed. Yes, in a moment we shall be changed. In a moment we shall be changed on that day. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
One day we will see you face to face. We don't know if that is this week, today, 2026. We don't know, Lord. But Lord God, let us live with this hope. Let us live with that hope deep within inside. Lord, may it be something that we live with expectation. That even calls us to a life of holiness. Oh God, none of us would like to be caught in a place where we're not right with God and that our clothes are stained. Oh God, you're coming back for a spotless church. So Lord God, help us to live each day with your grace, with your strength, to live for you. Each and every day, Lord God, to come before you, to be purified, to be cleansed, and to give our lives completely to you, Lord. To be the people of God you've called us to be. And Lord God, make us a witness to the world around us. May they see Jesus in us. Lord, we give you the thanks. We ask in your precious name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning. Greet each other as you leave. Say, Jesus is coming soon. Be ready. Amen. I think there's coffee there. There's still some donuts if you want to grab one for the road. So God bless you this morning. And we'll see you next Sunday. We're going to talk about prayer.